This week, when a single mother falls in love with a single dad, it seems like a match made in heaven. But she was in too deep when she realized that her heavenly match was really the devil. And all hell breaks loose when the devil finds a new victim. Welcome to My Crazy Divorce.
I'm a failure as a husband. I'm a failure as a man.
It's just, I'm beautiful and I'm bright and I deserve better.
It's a great day, I'm feeling good. Oh, the possibilities of what I could, oh, do with the world at my fingertips. My imagination brings a smile up to my lips.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of My Crazy Divorce. I'm your host, Tom Milligan, coming to you from the My Crazy Divorce Studios here in Panama City Beach, Florida. And as you know, when I say studios, I really mean my one-bedroom condo across the street from the beach. Before we get to the normal housekeeping and the story, I want to thank you for all of your mostly kind messages asking why I took a few weeks off. Trust me, it wasn't on purpose. Let me explain real quick. Two things happened, one right after the other, that forced me to take a break from producing the show. First, my computer just flat out died one day. Now, my laptop is my backup machine, but it can't run some of the editing software I use, so I had to wait to get my bigger machine fixed. That process was a total joke and took 3 weeks. But what really sucked is that even after 3 weeks, the problem still wasn't fixed. So I ended up just replacing the machine and reinstalling the software. So that's all good now. The second thing is that my brother Dave, who is my best friend in the entire world, was recently diagnosed with stage 4 terminal liver cancer. The doctors are saying he won't see his next birthday. Bluntly, I haven't been myself, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been able to produce a quality show. But his positive attitude is infectious, and if Dave can move forward with a smile, then who am I to wallow in sadness? And that goes for you too. Life is precious. Enjoy every day, because you never know when it will be your last. I hope you'll take a minute to follow Dave's journey on TikTok. His TikTok is at Dave's Amazing Journey. I'm sure you'll find it inspirational. It's also the best place to get updates on his journey. So with that out of the way, we can get back on track and talk about this week's crazy divorce. Before we get into the story, I should warn you that today's episode contains descriptions of neglect, abuse, miscarriage, and death. And we try to have a good time here on the show while treating these subjects with the respect they deserve, but hey, you've been warned. By now, I really hope no one mistakes me for an attorney or a psychologist. But just in case, I'm not an attorney or a therapist, so nothing on this show should be considered legal or therapeutic advice. If you need legal advice or therapy, please reach out to a qualified professional. And the last thing before we get into the story, if you have a crazy divorce story and would like to be a guest on our show, just visit our website at mycrazydivorce.com and click on Apply to be a guest so we can schedule a recording session. Are you ready for a crazy divorce story? Well, let's get into it. Our guest this week is Amanda. Amanda's mother was just 15 when she gave birth to Amanda's older sister. Then, just 2 years later, at 17 years old, she got pregnant again, this time with Amanda. But this time, she and Amanda's father, who was 32 at the time, decided to get married. Yeah, I know. 32 and 17? Well, things were different in 1980. Regardless, Amanda was born just a month after her mother's 18th birthday. And 4 years later, her parents had a son. The five of them lived in a very small town in Missouri, where almost everyone worked at the picture frame factory. Amanda started babysitting at 9, but like just about everybody else in town, started work at the factory when she was 15. As a self-described geek, Amanda was bullied at school, so she withdrew into her studies and made the National Honor Society. In addition to the trouble at school, things weren't all that great at home either.
My mom told a story of abuse on their honeymoon, where my dad got mad at her about something. And that was the first time that he had ever actually put his hands on her. And that continued on a fairly regular basis throughout their entire marriage. Well, I'd say eventually it probably stopped like the last 5 years.
That really sucks. And it's easy to sit here and ask why she'd allow the abuse to happen, especially so early on. But just think, she's 18. I don't know if she graduated from high school. She has no work experience and has two small kids. She didn't have a lot of options. And did Amanda say the abuse actually stopped? Well, that's not typical. What happened there?
At least in the small town that we lived in, when the police would show up, my mom would immediately say, you know, no, I'm sorry, you know, because she would freak out and think about, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom. She was a teenager pretty much still, and she got to really, if they took my dad away, she'd have no way to support the family. And so by the time they showed up, she always backed down and said she didn't want to press charges. And it was, there was many times it happened where the police didn't get called, but there was, I can recall there really wasn't a lot of physical evidence a lot of times when they would get called. And it was a lot of times the neighbors calling them. It wasn't somebody from our house. The neighbors could hear what was happening and they would call. And so the last time there was physical evidence on my mom and my sister, and that's when the police told my dad that, like, under any circumstance, if we get called back here for any reason, then we're going to press charges, because he claimed to be defending himself.
Defending himself, my ass. I guess the threat from the police finally scared him straight. Too bad it took 15 years. Amanda's parents stayed together for another 5 or 6 years, but they weren't happy years. In case you're wondering, the abuse wasn't reserved just for mom.
I sat back in horror and watched as my dad abused my mom. I was also not as severely abused as her, but we, all of us children, were pretty badly abused ourselves. So I had spent my whole childhood being thrown around and knocked around and having to hide bruises.
That's just tragic. And I know I say this every time we have to deal with abuse, but men, if you're abusing your wife and kids, you're a coward. Get help. And for the love of God, stay away from your family until you've gotten that help and are a real man. When Amanda was about 12, she met a new friend. They became best friends and shared everything.
She was like my first really close friend, and I spent a lot of time at her house. And one night, and her stepfather just beat the tar out of her mom. On a weekly basis, at least. We almost joked about it and said it was Thursday night fights.
I love how people are able to cope with tragedy through humor. But humor is just a coping mechanism. It doesn't solve the underlying problem.
One night, he strangled her, and then he pulled the car into the garage, left it on, and the two of them passed away as a result of one of these fights. And that was such a moment burned into my soul.
I just can't believe shit like this happens. I mean, I know it does, but come on.
And I made a vow at that point that I would never be abused like that. That I would never, it might happen once and I would feel sorry for the person that did it. At the very best, they would spend a lot of time in jail, but that would be like, I don't even know what would happen, but it just wouldn't be a good idea. So I've never been physically abused. Definitely. You know, I've had the mental abuse and all of that happen, and I've had the gaslighting like crazy, but I've never had anybody put their hands on me.
Good for you, Amanda. Break that cycle. The only good thing is that at least we know there's no more abuse in this story. When Amanda was about 18, she was living with her older sister when she met a guy. He's not in the story enough to deserve a fake name, but even though it's a bit part, we have to talk about him, because he's the father of Amanda's oldest daughter.
We moved in together. We were dating about a year before we got pregnant with her. And that relationship was just a lot of gaslighting, a lot of infidelity on his part. And me, like 18 years old, just wanting desperately to make it work.
Sounds like a great relationship, doesn't it?
We never got married, but we were 6 weeks away from our wedding when I found out about the definite infidelity. And so he moved out, and I was just like, I was devastated.
So here's Amanda, 20 years old, with a baby and a failed relationship. That sucks. She hunkers down, provides for her daughter, and is prepared to be a single mom. Fast forward a few years. She's about 24, and on the nights where her daughter was with her father, Amanda would let her hair down and go out dancing with friends.
There was one night that I was at a club with one of my, she had used to be my roommate, and it was kind of a lame night. It was ladies' night, and everything was expensive, though, because MTV was there filming something. And she had to go to the bathroom, and I was standing by the bar waiting for her to get out of the bathroom, and I turn around, and I'm face-to-face with him, and there was Trevor, and we said hi, and kind of just started talking like we had always known each other, and I ended up convincing my friend to stay at the club for a while longer so we could talk some more.
Reminder, Trevor is a fake name, but that's what we're going to call him. Regardless of his real name, Amanda, which incidentally is a real name, is obviously quite smitten. But she's also painfully aware of her parental status and that most guys her age weren't looking for an instant family. So she let him have it.
I threw all the stuff in at him that would normally at this point, like if I went out, I could scare men off, and I think I could do it. I think I did it intentionally with, I would break right out with, the 3-year-old daughter. And that usually, you know, a lot of times would be like, oh, hey, cool. Nice to meet you. And what he said when I told him I had a 3-year-old daughter was, oh, cool. Well, I have 2 daughters. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, I certainly can't hold that against somebody since I have a kid.
Wait, he's cool with it? Well, that backfired. Time for plan B.
And then I remember telling him, because I had a little bit of a buzz. I was like, well, I'm not going home with you tonight, because that was something. Oh, he offered to buy me a drink. And I learned if a guy buys you a drink, you know, I hadn't been going out to the bar very long. But one of the things I had already learned was if you accept that drink, there's expectations.
Aha! The no sex play. Well done, Amanda. That's got to send him packing, right?
I threw that at him, and I figured, like, boy, you know, if anything, he's going to be like, well, she's weird. But instead, he was just like, well, good. I wouldn't respect you if you were willing to go home with me tonight. I'm like, okay, good answer.
Well, he shot his shot, and all her defenses missed. So she gave him her number.
He called me the next day and made plans to hang out with me right away. And with my previous relationship, I was constantly on the back burner, always, like very, very last priority. And so this was new for me and meant the world to me. Like when he said he was going to call, he called. When he said he was going to show up, he was there on time. And he just seemed like he couldn't get enough of me.
Not going to lie, Trevor sounds like husband material, right? So just who is this Trevor character anyway?
He grew up in a small town as well. It's Independence, Kansas, and it seemed like, you know, his family was kind of, I guess, maybe a little on the wrong side of the tracks in town. And so he had a little bit of a tumultuous life himself. He was the only boy, and he was fairly catered to, at least. So his family wasn't extremely well off, but he kind of tended to get his way quite a bit. He had one sister, and then he had a brother that was from, I guess, an affair that his father had had. So he had a brother that wasn't much older than him that kind of happened during an affair.
Of course, we can't blame Trevor for his non-traditional family, but Trevor, like all of us, is made up of his life experiences, good and bad. So keep that part about him being catered to and getting his way in mind as we hear the rest of the story. Okay, so Amanda's dating this amazing guy that shows up when he says he's going to show up, and he couldn't get enough of her. Sounds great. So how did she deal with it?
I just ate that up.
Well, like I said, sounds great. Now what?
I would say, like, he was pretty much staying at my house every night within a month of us meeting. And no, like, he didn't move his stuff in, but he'd bring a bag, and it'd always be, he'd give me a call on his lunch break at work and be like, hey, cool if I swing by. And then I'd be like, oh, whoopsie daisy, it's late. I'm going to go ahead and stay the night. And it was just a lot of that.
Amazing. Good for them. Sounds great. I think John Cougar wrote a song about these two. But as you already know, it can't last. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a show. Well, here we go.
the relationship's going strong. And man, we had so much in common. I told him my favorite color. It was his too. We had the same favorite songs, the same favorite movies. I would always say mine first, if you kind of can imagine where I'm going with this. But boy, couldn't be more perfect together. Like, he liked everything I liked, and it was great.
Did you catch that? Feel free to rewind 15, 20 seconds and listen to it again. See if you hear it. Trevor is using an abuse tactic called mirroring. According to Medium.com, mirroring is when someone gives tons of affection and empathy, acting like they're passionate about what you're passionate about to improve your connection and make it seem deeper than it is. While this may sound understandable or somewhat innocent at first, the reasoning behind it is what's problematic. People sometimes mirror others, especially those who are emotionally vulnerable, to get their guard down. They know exactly what you need in a relationship and withhold it at certain times to get what they want. And remember, Trevor's been getting what he wants his entire life. But Amanda doesn't see it yet, and she's falling in love.
So I introduce him to my daughter, and that goes perfectly, and she likes him, and he plays with her, and beautiful. And then I make plans to go meet his daughters, because his daughters were living 4 hours away with his parents.
Wait, what?
He had a situation with his and I found out soon to be ex-wife, because the divorce was not final. They'd been separated for a while. But according to him, she was the most classless, low life, trashy, you know, slept around with everybody. He wasn't sure the kids were his, you know, type situation, and just the lowest of the low that you could possibly get. So she wasn't capable of caring for the children. So the two of them left the children with his parents. And they were 4 hours away while both of them were living in Kansas City. And so I went to meet his daughters one weekend after it had been a few months in. And you know, they immediately clung to me. I felt so bad for them. Like, it just destroyed his heart that he was so far away from his kids.
Damn, there's a lot to unpack there. So Trevor is mirroring. His daughters live 4 hours away. He's not divorced, and he trashes his ex in every way possible. Anything else?
He had mentioned it many times, how he just felt so bad and he missed his kids and he wished he had a stable home for them. And with this visit, we went and I saw they were the conditions they were living in were not sanitary. They were not good.
Oh, so they live 4 hours away in a shithole. Meanwhile, Dad's out meeting women at the club. That doesn't add up for me. If my kids were forced to live away from me, I like to think that I'd work 3-4 jobs and save every penny to make sure they're with me. Turns out, it's not just a shithole.
They smoked inside. They had a lot of pets with a lot of pet hair and a lot of urine and a lot of other messes not cleaned up. Mold in the sippy cups. Yeah, I mean, they're older people. His mom was significantly overweight. And so there's no way she's keeping up with these toddlers. You know, Dad's a chain smoker in the house and also not in good health. And so my heart broke for these girls. If anything, I thought, like, I need to call CPS if I don't do anything else. But now I'm in love with this man.
So Trevor's kids are living in a smoke-filled, unsanitary home with an older woman that couldn't properly care for them.
And
great job, Trevor. At least you got Amanda to fall for you. But where's mom?
She definitely had some issues and was not capable of by herself taking care of the girls. It was more, she was like, you know, had maybe the maturity level of a 12-year-old. As far as I was like, she was a very sweet lady, but she was not, you could tell kind of with the way that she was raised, she wasn't capable of taking care of them by herself.
Now, to be fair, Trevor is 3 years younger than Amanda, which means he's just 21 at this point of the story. And so is his soon-to-be ex-wife. If you do the math, that means the girls were born when they were just 18, so neither of them really had a chance to grow up before being parents. Regardless of the underlying reason, Trevor's daughters were very quiet and didn't open up to anyone. But apparently, during that first visit to see them, the girls really took to Amanda.
He went on and on about how much they loved me, how like he couldn't believe how much they were talking because they would never talk. And they were talking to me, and he was, you know, he said he would just give anything in the world if his daughters could have a mom like me.
Wow. If Trevor was just trolling for a mother for his daughters, he's pretty good. It reminds me of a story from when I worked at McDonald's in high school. One day during my senior year, I arrived at work and was introduced to a beautiful girl named Barbie, no lie, who had just started working that day. My teenage lizard brain immediately began making plans to ask her out. Barbie did to me exactly what Amanda did to Trevor. She scared me away by letting me know that she was 24 years old and had 3 kids. I don't recall her telling me if she'd been married, but she did tell me that none of the kids had the same father. And it worked. We became work friends, but I never even considered dating her after that. But just 2 or 3 weeks later, another work friend named Paul, a junior in high school and dressed in blue polyester McDonald's uniform, invited me to their wedding. I'm positive I didn't react well. In fact, I bet him $1,000 it wouldn't last 6 months. But anyway, as we flipped burgers that afternoon, he told me that when they first started dating 2 weeks ago, it was just for fun, and that neither of them were looking for anything serious. Remember, she's 24 and he's 17. And they both work at McDonald's part-time. But things changed when he picked her up for their second date. She invited him in and introduced him to her kids. He reached down to shake their hands, and they all called him Daddy. I would have run screaming from that apartment like I was on fire. But not Paul. Paul took Barbie out that night, both of them smelling like Big Mac sauce, since that stuff takes weeks to wash off, and asked her to marry him. How dumb of him. And maybe even dumber? She said yes. And they were married 2 weeks later. As far as I can tell, the only positive thing that came out of their marriage is that I won the bet. It didn't last 6 months. So Paul, if you're listening, you owe me $1,000. Like I said, I think Trevor was trolling for a mother. Barbie was trolling for a daddy. My friend Paul fell for it. But how did Amanda react?
24-year-old me fell for that hook, line, and sinker. And before too long, the girls were living with us in my apartment. And I was taking care of them just like, you know, they were my own.
I don't see this ending well at all. But sadly, neither did
I was already seeing red flags along the way at this point with him. So moving the girls in, like I wasn't feeling great about it, but that at that point I had said yes.
Uh-oh, red flags. We know she's ignored a bunch of them, like his upbringing, teen pregnancy, and living 4 hours from his children while going out to clubs to meet women. So what other red flags were there?
He had a temper. Like not towards me at all at first, actually, but I had seen it a few times, like, you know, while driving, especially to the point where I was just like, you know, like anybody can get road rage, but he would almost cause car accidents. Like he would almost chase somebody off the road, slamming on brakes and all of that. And then he did that once with his daughters in the car.
Okay. Add road rage to the list. Anything else?
Then there was another time where I saw him like get out of line with his daughter, his oldest daughter. And I said something to him about it, but you know, he apologized and said, you know, that, oh, that's not something that I would normally do. I feel so bad. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, every now and then somebody has a bad moment. At least he seemed to learn.
I don't think he really learned anything. Do you? I think he just learned to hide it better, but who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Next.
I would get some really interesting stories from him, some really far out interesting stories that I'm actually really good at telling when somebody's full of shit. And so my bullshit meter would go off and I would ignore it and tell myself, I'm not a psychic. I don't know if but there would be like that. Oh man, that story doesn't, you know, like that, this doesn't, that doesn't line up. And there were a decent amount of those. And a lot of them were, I would tell a story that was very true about my life. And then it would be the, oh, me too, or my situation was actually worse than yours, and here's why.
I don't know what that's called. It's like mirroring, but magnified mirroring. But she ignored it. She justified it. I'll never understand why we do that. All of us. We see the red flags and ignore them. So at this point, Trevor and Amanda are both hoping the girl's mother could get her shit together and help, but Amanda couldn't bear to see them living in squalor any longer. So Trevor and his daughters are living with Amanda and her daughter.
So his daughters had some developmental delays that it made having them in daycare very difficult. And it also, it made it very, I realized very quickly that I was like, uh-oh. There were some things I was not prepared for as far as like their behavior, things that they did and all of that. So I was on the fence about, like, you know, he had suggested that maybe I quit the job that I had in property management and stay home with all the kids.
The nerve of this guy. Hey, Amanda, look, I know my kids are a handful and they're not even your kids, and I'm still married to their mother and we're living in your apartment, and they technically could go live with my parents, but would you mind quitting your job to be their unpaid nanny? I mean, mommy. Seriously. But what's crazy is that she didn't kick him out.
And while I'm on the fence with this, now it's December, I realize I'm pregnant.
Oh, shit. Now what?
I had a full-on meltdown panic attack because I was in a place where I was starting to think that maybe I might have to unravel this, like maybe I got myself into something that was a little more than I could deal with, and now I'm pregnant. And so I called Trevor. And I didn't even wait for him to, I was just in a panic. I said, you know, first I wasn't going to tell him, and then he made me tell him, and I did. And then he sounded very happy about it. And I was surprised because with my first pregnancy was not a happy situation when I told the father. So he actually sounded thrilled. This is going to be a good thing. This is perfect for our family. And, so later that day, he came home from work, and I had been calling everybody I know, just kind of a mess. I had a terrible feeling about the whole thing. And I remember I was in my bedroom. I was like doing something. I turn around and he was standing there holding the box with the ring in it that he had just picked up. And he said, you know, oh, looks like we might as well get married. And so that was my proposal.
Well, of course he was happy about it. This helps him convince her to be a stay-at-home mom for his other kids. This is perfect. But Trevor, we might as well get married, is a shitty proposal. Just saying.
I'm still trying to process the fact that I was pregnant and that I wasn't, you know, at that time planning to be. And now I've got to think. And so I just said yes automatically.
Yep. Perfect. For Trevor.
From that point on, he said, you know, you're pregnant with my child. Why don't you go ahead and quit your job? I'll take care of you. You stay home with the kids. And so that began that.
Somewhere along the way, Trevor finalizes his divorce. And despite saying yes to his amazingly romantic proposal, Amanda decides to pump the brakes just a bit. She realizes that he's just recently divorced and she didn't want to get married just because she's pregnant. Good. So she's staying home watching the three girls, and she's having a really rough pregnancy. So she goes in at 14 weeks for a regular checkup, hoping to learn the gender of their baby. But instead, she's told that she's miscarried.
At that point, that was by far the most devastating experience of my life. And I struggle really hard to come back from that. And so I wasn't in a good place to make any decisions about anything. I was still trying very hard to be the best mom in the whole world to these kids that you know, at this point, you know, they, if I gently asked them not to do something, they would scream, cry, and have complete meltdown. So it was just crazy. And so when he suggested after the fact, like, let's go ahead and set a date, like, you know, we're going to get married this year. Let's do that. We'll plan for another baby. And so in my mind, I wasn't trying to replace the baby that I lost, but I was comforted by the idea of getting married and then trying for another baby. So we got married in August of 2005.
The fact that this podcast is called My Crazy Divorce makes it clear that wasn't the best decision. But it's hard for me to criticize her decision because it's literally impossible for me to put myself in her position or state of mind. But they go ahead and get married. Since she was staying at home with the girls, money was pretty tight. So they worked together and had a fun but simple and cheap wedding.
The very small wedding, I think it had, you know, like my mom and sister and my brother were there, and then our kids, and then just his sister and his parents were there. And that was our whole wedding party. And then my friend that married us.
Personally, I think that's how a wedding should be. Why do we need to invite 400 people? Oh, well.
After Trevor and I were married, not long after, we discussed trying to have a baby intentionally together. And I really wanted to do that. I knew I wanted to have one more child at some point. And so that didn't happen right away, but it wasn't too terribly long after we found out that we were expecting our own baby in January of 2006. We actually, like, we went out to eat one night and I wasn't feeling very well. And just for fun, I was like, this is going to sound weird, but before I have a glass of wine at dinner, like, would you stop off so I can grab a pregnancy test? And then he stopped off at the store. I grabbed it, got to the restaurant. And then while I was off taking the test, he had ordered me a glass of wine. That second line showed up right away. And I went out and I slid the glass of wine back over to him. And that was how I let him know that it was positive.
That's a cool story, and I really want to be happy for them, but I already don't like Trevor, and I promise, it's gonna get worse. So Amanda's happily pregnant, determined to be a good wife and mother, and to not stress about the pregnancy. But at 9 weeks in, she starts bleeding, and goes to the ER. Terrified of another miscarriage, they did a sonogram.
And there was my daughter, just floating around. Like, she almost looked like she was doing the back swim. You know, she was kicking her little legs and she was fine, little heartbeat going strong. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And they were like, oh, everything's okay. And they looked and they saw that I had a blood clot that they said could rupture the placenta and that I could lose the pregnancy. And so they warned me, they said that she's okay for now. But you are going to have to go on bed rest because at this point it's really like, you know, maybe there's definitely a 50-50 chance it could go one way or another. It could either dissolve and everything will be okay, or it would end your pregnancy. And so I went on bed rest.
Obviously, any mother would gladly go on bed rest to save their unborn child. But just because mom is on bed rest, that doesn't mean the other three girls don't need her. Some of them aren't even potty trained yet. They still need a mom. Ultimately, Trevor's ex stepped up and took one of the two girls, so that helped quite a bit.
It wasn't until I was 8 months pregnant with my daughter that they found that the blood clot had absolved, and that like basically at 8 months is when we realized that everything was going to be okay.
That must have been such a relief. I was curious about how Trevor handled all that stress, especially given his temper.
That was rough. That was challenging. But he was, he had a few bad moments, but honestly, he wasn't bad at all. And he never commented about how chubby I was getting or anything. I remember being grateful for that. Trevor was very helpful with her. Like, he would actually, like, he would take one of the feedings at night. Like, he liked having a baby. And she was such a good baby.
Well, that's good. Amanda was so happy because Trevor was so different from the father of her oldest child.
It was very different than my first pregnancy, in which I don't think he'd pee in my mouth. My teeth were on fire, you know, always, let alone, you know, give me a back rub or anything, you know.
Oh, my hell. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard on this show. I promise I'll be using that for the rest of my life.
Hey, guys. This is Jill from OurDivorce.com. Pretty much everyone has either been through a crazy divorce or knows somebody else who has. When Tom and I designed OurDivorce.com, we knew it wouldn't work for everyone. We knew that there would still be people out there who'd rather pay their attorney to send an email to their soon-to-be ex's attorney threatening to go to court over the blunder. We didn't build OurDivorce.com for those people. We designed OurDivorce.com for divorcing couples who are willing to compromise and who, instead of spending money on an attorney, would rather just get it done while using OurDivorce's quick, easy, and intuitive process. So you have a couple of choices if you're thinking of divorce. You can choose to spend thousands of dollars hoping you win in court after years of fighting. Or you can go to OurDivorce.com, follow our three-step process at your own pace, then print, sign, and file with the courts, all for just $299. Seems like a no-brainer to me. So visit OurDivorce.com and click Get Started to access the most effective, easy-to-use, and comprehensive online divorce solution available today.
Despite being a good dad to their baby daughter, Trevor is still Trevor. And Amanda noticed a different red flag.
As time went by, that the issue that Trevor had and still does have is he cannot become content. He can work on a goal that he thinks will make him content. That, you know, so he can put a plan in place, like whether it be a plan to move, a plan to change jobs, a plan to get a new pet, a plan to have a new child. But as long as like that, those things would make him happy. But then after the fact, when he had accomplished what it was that, you know, when we had done what we set out to do that was going to make everything better, he would fall back into a slump. And it was, you know, I don't know if it was like a bipolar thing. I don't know that if there was ever a diagnosis of that. But in my experience, it was soul sucking to live with him, because I would get excited with him and be trying to do these things with him, like, you know, moving, putting together a whole new house, you know, setting all of that up. And then, you know, he would fall back into the slump, and it would always be, okay, well, what's the next thing that's going to make you happy? What's the next thing that's going to make this work?
Now, I really can't fault Amanda for not noticing this or thinking it's a big deal, because it takes years to see the pattern. In fact, I didn't notice this pattern in my ex until we'd been divorced for over a year. People like them believe that happiness is a destination. So instead of finding joy in the journey, they spend their entire lives chasing happiness. I feel bad for them. It took me 19 years to see the pattern. Amanda saw it much earlier.
It wasn't until our last year of marriage where I really started thinking, oh no, this is not headed in a good direction. We had finally made what was supposed to be our very last move into our dream house. It was a rent to own situation set up for a year of rent to own. And then we were going to get our own loan and we were going to purchase it after that. And, this was going to be the final thing that was going to make everybody happy, and spend a lot of time and effort getting that house set up.
Yep. Now that they have a house, he'll be happy. How many times did I hear that? How many times have you heard it? Or even said it? Spoiler alert, it didn't work.
He was just irritable with everybody. Never with the daughter we had together, but he started getting really short-tempered with my older daughter. It just became more and more and more like he was less able to control his temper. He was more and more agitated. Very rarely was he in a good mood, unless, you know, on the rare occasion, you know, we'd have some drinks in the back, you know, on the back deck or something, and he'd get in a good mood. But other than that, when he was home, he seemed miserable.
I can just picture that household every day wondering, what mood is Trevor in today? That's not living. That's walking on eggshells.
He started criticizing everything that I did. And normally that was never the case, because I was way better at just about everything than like any of his previous relationships. So normally that was the last thing he would do.
Trevor's about to lose the best thing in his life.
He would say I was spending too much money. And I didn't ever, I never bought myself clothes, very rarely. I would go to a thrift store. Like, our kids had everything they needed. I clipped coupons. Like, I was a professional stay-at-home mom. I worked at my youngest preschool so that we could save money and not have to pay for her preschool.
Look, I know she's a stay-at-home mom, and I know that some husbands feel their wives are living it up at home while they're out making a living, and I certainly can't verify that she was living frugally, but it sure sounds like it, which makes Trevor an even bigger ass than I'd thought. If you'll remember from earlier, Amanda's dad wasn't the greatest. At this point, his relationship with Amanda was tenuous, but he was trying.
He didn't necessarily develop a great relationship with me, but he would show me he loved me in ways that he knew how, which was like he would send me money for my birthday and he would send us money for Christmas so I could get stuff for our kids. And on my birthday, he sent me $200 and I said I wanted to go out and get a babysitter. And I wanted to, because we never celebrated my birthday. So I know I was like, I'm going to quit waiting for somebody else to plan something. I was like, I want to go sing karaoke. I want to have my friends come out. I want to have drinks. I want to dance. And I want to buy a new pair of shoes because I had not had a brand new pair of shoes in years. And so I said, with the money my dad sent me, that's what I want to do. And he, the whole night, was upset with me.
We've heard some crazy stories with some pretty shitty people involved, but for some reason, Trevor pisses me off as bad as any of them. That even seems to have been a turning point for Amanda.
That hurt me. I realized like this is the person that I'm married to. I finally gotten to a point in my life where like I deserve better than the treatment that I've gotten. And I took, you know, second class treatment from him all the way up until that point without even thinking about it. But that was the first time it really struck me.
Well, well, well. Trevor finally pushed her so far that she realized he was pushing. Every one of our stories has a singular moment where we all know this is the beginning of the end. That was it for Trevor and Amanda.
After that, like his behavior towards me, like the way I breathed got on his nerves. Like I started staying out of the room with him because I couldn't figure out like what it was exactly about the fact that, yeah, he just couldn't stand me. And we're getting close to the end of our lease with the house and we're going to have to buy the house now. And with the way things are going, it's like, there's no way. Like I knew, you know, we need to go to counseling. We need to fix this. I would hate for him to pull in the driveway. I'd start to get that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach when he'd pull in the driveway, like I used to when my dad came home. I won't live that way.
Good for her. Nobody, including Trevor, by the way, should have to live that way. So in March of 2012, Amanda gets a sitter and buys a bottle of wine. When Trevor gets home from work, she invites him out on the back deck and pours out her feelings.
So I said, if you're unhappy, I understand that. I'm not going to force you to stay in this marriage. I won't force you to stay with me. I said, if you don't, I just don't know what to even do to fix it because I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And I was like, but I said, you know, at this point, I said, anything you can tell me right now, as long as you're being honest, you know, I can understand and we can work through it or I can forgive it or whatever, but like, we will be cool. I was like, I just don't want to find out the hard way that you're lying to me about anything. And he had enough of a buzz that he decided to confess to me that night that he had been communicating with a female that he used to go to high school with back in the day that he reconnected with on Facebook.
What? I thought Trevor was just a manipulative douche. Now he's talking to an ex from high school behind Amanda's back? Amanda somehow kept her composure and asked.
I'm like, so what does that mean? Like, is this a friend of yours? And he said, well, yeah, he's like, I haven't stepped out. He's like, she lives 4 hours away. He was like, so, you know, I haven't gone to see her or anything. He was like, we've just been messaging back and forth. And, you know, she's just been there for me through a lot of really stressful situations. And so that might be why you feel like, you know, I'm pulling away from you or whatever. And I was like, okay, so here's a point where I'd like you to be really honest with me. Do you have romantic feelings towards her? And he was quiet. And just the way that he reacted, I had my answer. And he said, yeah, it's gone past the point of friendship as far as feelings go.
Well, at least he admitted it. When my ex started her emotional affair, I was frantic, almost manic, because I didn't know that an emotional affair was actually a thing. I naively believed that since they didn't have sex, that I could still save the marriage. And she didn't admit that it was more than a friendship for months. Thankfully, Amanda's smarter than me.
It broke my heart. But at this point, it was just par for the course. Like I had been cheated on before and the marriage had been going so badly that at least it made sense as to why. At least I could stop taking it personally. And, you know, and it's like, you know, he's talking to somebody else, his attention's elsewhere. So that it made sense.
I'm so impressed at how level-headed she is. I was nuts. Good for her.
So I said, so what do we do? And he says, well, I think it would be a good idea if I move out on my own and get my own place. And he said, and then maybe, you know, you could get your own place. He said, you can stay in the house. He wanted to move out pretty quickly, but he told me I could stay at the house until May when the lease was up.
That's good. At least they're both willing to be reasonable. Even though he wanted to leave quickly, it took a while to find a place. So they ended up living in the house together for a month.
So we decide we're going to live in this house together and just try to be cool with each other. But in the meantime, he's making plans on moving out. I made plans. I secured a job as a leasing agent at a nearby apartment community, since that's what I did for a living before. And they had an apartment ready for me, but it wouldn't be ready till May. So I was definitely stuck in the house until the lease was up. He stayed there for about a month after we decided to separate, and it was awkward. Like, I don't know how people do that. Like, the people that think that they can live in the house together when they know they're going to separate, like, it's just the worst feeling ever. It's so bad and so awkward to be in the house like that.
I'm sad that it was uncomfortable for her. When my ex and I split, we lived in the same house for a month as she packed up to move across the country with her boyfriend. That month was the most healing experience I'd ever had. Because while she'd become detached from me months earlier, it took that month of seeing and experiencing her detachment from me to begin the detachment process for myself.
At the time, we were getting along very well, despite the awkwardness. And we sat and discussed, pretty extensively how we were going to handle the separation. Like, at first, we weren't even planning on necessarily getting divorced. We were going to separate. You know, he was maybe going to explore his feelings and, you know, all of that, and see, I guess, if there was anything with this other woman. And then, but we might go to counseling, you know, we might be able to work everything out, but we're definitely going to move into different households. And so we sat the kids down one night after we had talked about how we were going to present it to them. We explained it. We tried to explain it in a way of, like, it's not a huge deal. Like, you know, yeah, you know, sometimes adults, you know, they still love each other, but they're not in love with each other anymore. And, you know, but we still love all of you. And we still, you know, we still want to be a family. Just, you know, we're going to live in separate households. But, you know, I still had every intention on seeing his daughters. You know, he told my daughter, like, oh, yeah, you'll still come spend the night at my house. And so, like, the way that and I believed it 100%. Like, I meant every single thing I said about what we were going to do, like, that he and I were going to still be friends. That no matter what, we were going to get along and we were going to co-parent.
Sounds like a dream, right? Well, not on this show. Anyway, Trevor moves out.
He goes to where this, you know, woman is that he's getting feelings for. And apparently when he showed up, what she was selling online wasn't what she had waiting for him when he showed up in person. She had, I guess, a house that made his parents' house look like the Elms. He said, you know, there wasn't a place to sit where there wasn't, you know, either, you know, cat pee or, you know, whatever. He's, and, you know, she was quite a bit heavier, you know, like, quite a bit more aged than her picture let on, you know, like obviously it was an old picture that she used. We'll put it like that.
I'll bet everyone listening can guess what happens next.
But then he came home the next day, called me, and was just, like, just devastated with, you know, he was sad, you know, kind of, because basically he had allowed the separation of our marriage and all the damage that was done at this point. And I was already moved into my own place. He helped me move. You know, I helped him get his place set up. And he was like, well, you know, maybe we just get back together.
Damn, Trevor. You just want your cake and eat it too, don't you?
And I said, no, that was really messed up what happened. We didn't fix anything in our last year of marriage. I said, I'd like to go to counseling if you'll let me set that up. Then I was like, I'm not going to say yes, I'm not going to say no, but we're not going to just jump right back in this relationship together.
Good for her. I think Amanda's getting her shit together. Maybe Trevor can look inward and fix his shit too.
Well, I guess because I didn't take him back immediately, he decided to start going out to bars and attempting to find somebody else.
Nope. Trevor needs to find another mom for his kids, so he's not going to waste any time working on any issues. In the meantime, They're both living on their own. Amanda is working in property management and has to work on Saturdays.
I had been dropping my daughter off over at his place. He was keeping her every other weekend. And then on the weekends that weren't his, he would keep her on Saturdays for me while I worked, because I worked every single weekend. That was part one of the stipulations of my job. And so that worked out beautifully. She gets extra time with her dad, you know, she gets, and so anyways, I went to drop her off over at his house on a regularly scheduled day. And I would normally go inside and we would talk for a second, and I would talk about, you know, what happened at school with her, whatever was going on with her.
Sounds like this whole co-parenting thing is actually working out for them. But that changed overnight as she drove over one Saturday morning to drop her off.
Well, I get a text message as I'm getting ready to drop her off that says, I have company over. She's not interested in meeting you. Don't come in. Just drop our daughter off and let her come in by herself.
Up until that point, his texts had always been friendly and even flirty. But that text instantly changed the tenor of their relationship. But neither one of them knew it yet.
I was second guessing myself, like, should I say something? Like, he's going to introduce somebody to my daughter that immediately says that they don't want to meet me. But instead I let her out of the car and let her go in. And, then I went to pick her up and he comes out to the car and he says, okay, so I need to let you know that our daughter met my new friend, Misty.
Good communication.
He said, and oh, by the way, he was like, our daughter accidentally called Misty mommy. And I said, okay. I said, what is your point? I said, and you immediately corrected her. And he was like, you don't need to get defensive like that. I said, I didn't know you were dating anybody. And the way that you introduce her to me is to tell me I'm not allowed to come up to the door.
That may not have been the best way for her to handle it, but I get it. Heat of the moment.
Then I got a text after the fact saying that I was just way out of line and that I needed to get over it and that he's going to date and that I'm just going to have to suck it up and deal with it.
Suck it up and deal with it? That's not right at all.
I knew Trevor for 8 years. You know, we were married for like almost 8 years. And I knew like his text messages, like his emails and all that very well. And you know, there are certain ways that he used sentence structure, certain words that he used, certain words he didn't use, all of that. Every time I get a text message from him, it's rude. It's combative. It's like, say, interestingly enough, completely sentence structures have changed. Verbiage has changed. And all of a sudden, Trevor goes from being very, very friendly and amicable to sounding like a rude bitch. At some point, it got to where he was no longer the one texting me.
Great. So Misty has taken over the communication. Keep in mind, Amanda and Trevor are still married. Any arrangements they've made are just verbal. That includes any child support or parent time.
Not too long after they started dating, I got a message from him saying that he wasn't going to be paying me the child support.
And so it begins. More messages come, one right after the other.
I was a money hungry, selfish. I was wanting to take all this money for myself. He was no longer going to be used for free daycare. That was my problem, to find daycare for those days.
Sounds like Trevor, and by Trevor, I mean Misty, isn't happy with their arrangement.
That was when I began to realize that the wonderful little, you know, scenario, the picture that we painted for the kids on what our separation and divorce is going to look like was going to be very different.
That's just too bad. It really seemed like their pre-Misty relationship was cooperative and that they could have remained friendly.
I've been told that I'm ridiculous for accusing her, for me, you know, assuming that it was her fault and all that. But I know when things changed, and they can say, you know, I know that she believes that it's not her. I know that Trevor tells her that it's not her. And I know that he knows that it was.
Yeah, I think we all know it was.
I would even say, like, why are you acting like this? I can't help but feel like you're being influenced. And then I would get lashed at, don't you dare accuse Misty. She has nothing to do with this. You're the one that, you know. You're just jealous because our daughter has bonded with her.
Oh, good one, Trevor. Play the jealousy card. Well, within a month of that Saturday morning when Amanda wasn't allowed to come inside, Misty and her three daughters have moved in with Trevor. And the amicable divorce planned by Trevor and Amanda was heading for disaster. Remember when Trevor came home from his weekend with his high school girlfriend and he'd wanted to get back with Amanda? She didn't say no. Instead, she said, let's get counseling.
There's no counselor that can fix that if he's capable of treating me this way just because another woman comes along. Like that. So I was ready to go with the divorce. I went ahead and reached out to an attorney first and got the ball rolling. I realized, like, the way that he is treating me now, I know I don't ever want to be with him again. Like, this is disgusting.
Good for her. And to everyone listening, even though we're sponsored by OurDivorce.com and we're big proponents of amicable divorces without using attorneys, this is what divorce attorneys are for. For a divorce to be amicable, both parties have to be willing to make it happen. At this point, Trevor is no longer willing, so Amanda is doing exactly what she should do to protect herself and her children.
I had to save money for a retainer because, you know, I didn't have a lot extra. And so I finally did that. He got served. I think, you know, from the sound that he was more than happy to jump in and get the divorce done. And but he had all these different stipulations that he wanted to start throwing. And then they were also just completely out of left field and not something we'd ever discussed before. And so so it became evident that they were going to start making the divorce difficult.
Despite involving lawyers, Amanda is still hoping to get it over with and get on with her life. But Trevor's lawyer seems to be working to slow it down.
I won't say that I'm perfect in the whole situation.
There's never a case where one party is perfect. But since we all know what a dickhead Trevor is, let's see why she says that. A few months earlier, Trevor posted something about the separation on Facebook. One of the people who saw that post is a guy named Joshua, who used to be married to Trevor's sister, which means at one point, he and Amanda were sort of related by marriage.
We didn't spend a lot of time together, like as a family, like we, you know, it wasn't one of those type of situations where, you know, it was this big tight-knit family that spent all this time together. It was kind of one of those things, like I kind of knew him, but we hadn't hung out a whole lot. But he was a really nice guy, and I got to know him better like the last year that Trevor and I were married. They actually did come around a little bit more during that time, but things were going bad in his marriage, so he kind of had to distance himself because it was Trevor's sister. He reached out to me, and he said, not with the intention on trying to date me. He said, like, honestly, that wasn't where his mind was at with it, and definitely not where my mind was at with it.
I've mentioned before that I've become close friends with the wife of my ex-wife's boyfriend. I know that's hard to follow, but my ex is living with a guy that's still married. It's a marriage of convenience, and they don't speak, but they're still legally married. Anyway, his wife and I became close friends since we were both going through the same thing, at the same time, involving the same two cheaters. We really helped each other get through a tough time. And even though I've never met her, I consider her a very close friend. I think Joshua was a godsend.
Like, he began to reach out to me on a more regular basis, and I really appreciated having him to talk to. It's like, I guess we, in a weird way, we could both relate because, like, the siblings had some things in common that made them hard to live with. And so he could understand in some ways that other people couldn't, some of the stuff that I was dealing with. He was also dealing with a bait and switch situation. And kind of like a messy divorce where kids were being dragged into everything and being affected by it and all of that. So I'm being there for him. He's being there for me. Like I said, we're not at this. I noticed at some point that there's some flirtation going on.
Hey, why not? Right. He wasn't married to Trevor's sister, and Amanda wasn't going to be married to Trevor for much longer. Other than not giving yourself enough time to heal, what's the harm, right? Their personalities really clicked, and it wasn't just mirroring. And so their friendship grew. So while Amanda now had motivation to move things along, Trevor's attorneys were slow rolling the divorce, even though she was pretty much agreeing to whatever they wanted just to get it over with.
My daughter came home after a visit, and she says, you know, Mommy, guess what? Misty's going to have a baby. Oh, but I'm not supposed to tell you that.
Oh, could that have anything to do with it?
And I just called and asked him about it. And he immediately started, pretty quickly confirmed that, yes, none of my damn business, not my problem. But guess what? You know, now if I think I'm going to get all this child support, I'm not going to, because the divorce isn't going to happen until after this baby's born. so that he can include the baby and the child support, you know, in that equation. And, you know, basically that I shouldn't have been, you know, grilling my daughter for information, that I'm a terrible person, that I'm just jealous, that, you know, he's finally found the right woman for him. And, he yelled at me, he cursed at me, he called me names that he had never called me before that day. And I couldn't believe I'd been with this man for 8 years. At that point, I was almost embarrassed I'd been married to him. And didn't know what he was capable of, like just that he was that low.
Wow. I've heard of people having kids just to qualify for more welfare. But using your unborn child to lower your child support obligation seems like a new low. Dick.
Finding out that Misty was pregnant, I called Josh, and he came over to comfort me because I told him the whole story about everything, and he was just like, "Wow, what a piece of shit!" And he was like, "You know, I kind of knew, like, you know, I've known him, you know, since he was a kid, and I kind of knew how he was." He's like, "I didn't even know that he was capable of that." And so somehow, and it wasn't necessarily like a revenge thing, but that was the night where we held hands for the first time, the very first time that we went past the plane of friendship. And then we joked, like, the problem with taste in the candy is like once we made that connection, it was very, very, very strong. It was like more strong and like to the point where I feel bad saying it, but like he said it first was like it made any previous relationship almost kind of sad. Like it had like the chemistry and the, you know, all of that was there. And I was even like, are you kidding me?
Sounds like they're really good together and that Joshua is just really helping her.
He's like, I don't know if we should quit talking or what, but he was like, I'm like, definitely have more than just friendly feelings for you. And then I realized like I was feeling the same way. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I know, but that's weird. And I don't want to create an even worse situation than we already had.
Joshua really sounds like a good guy. He obviously has feelings for Amanda and she for him, but they both want to do what's right.
I guess like I gave myself permission just to go forward with that relationship when I found out that she's pregnant. He doesn't give a shit about me or how I feel about anything. My kids were okay with it. They were actually encouraging it. Josh's family was encouraging it. They thought like we were very good together, and it was very, anybody that would see the two of us together, like separately, they would even say like, it doesn't make sense. Like that's kind of, you know, but then when they would see us together, it made sense.
Sounds like everyone's on board the Amanda and Joshua train.
At some point, you know, Trevor actually hears of this.
If anyone should be on board, it should be Trevor. I don't know if alimony was being considered, but if so, Trevor should be ecstatic that she's with someone.
He got a little bit pissy about it, but he didn't seem too upset. He even had made a comment at some point because I was mentioning how I was struggling with financially. And he was like, why don't you just go move in with Josh? And he's like, it would make more sense.
Well, it doesn't sound like he was being ecstatic, but at least he's not being too difficult.
My daughter comes home and she's telling me that, you know, well, my dad says that it's really wrong that, you know, that you're dating Josh and that you're not supposed to be dating him.
How stupid. And how shitty that he's saying that to his daughter.
That's about the time. Well, and actually it was at that point, Josh and I decided that we would like to go ahead and combine our households now that, like, we were not going to live together while we were legally, well, you know, while I was still legally married.
Good plan. It's probably a good idea to wait until both parties are divorced before moving in or getting married.
Then my daughter started coming home and saying that she was hearing all this bad stuff about me, about Josh, that she was told that Josh was the reason that Trevor and I had divorced, that we had had an affair, and that was the whole reason of the divorce when he was. And of course, I'm not going to stand here and say to my 6-year-old, no, your dad is the one who was dating. So I never would do that. I would never. So there's things that my daughter, you know, that I would never say to her that, like, no matter what he would say about me, I wouldn't retaliate by doing the same thing.
Seriously, Trevor, just drop it and leave the 6-year-old out of it.
It still bothers him deeply to his soul. And apparently it affected Misty pretty badly as well, because all of a sudden I started getting like text messages from her that were just rude and stunned. And they actually came directly from her. So I know they were from her, about just kind of what a terrible person I was as a mother, how it was wrong of me to, you know, be with this person and put my daughter in this situation, and that she would be better off with them, and that they were going to fight me tooth and nail for full custody someday, and, you know, all of that good stuff.
Project much, Trevor and Misty? So just to review, Trevor and Amanda are separated but still married. Trevor and Misty are living together. Joshua and Trevor's sister are divorced, and now Joshua and Amanda are together, but not living together. A few months pass, and it's Christmas time. Trevor and Misty have Trevor and Amanda's daughter for the first half of Christmas break. When she comes to Amanda's house for the second half, she's wearing a necklace she'd received as a gift. During that week, she went to a friend's house to play. While she was there, she took off the necklace so it wouldn't get broken. And as we've all done, she forgot to grab it before leaving. Amanda noticed it was missing and figured she'd run over to grab it before seeing Trevor a few days later. But she forgot. And Trevor came to Amanda's office to pick their daughter up at the end of the week.
I'm unloading stuff. She sees, you know, I come out to the car and I see a look on her face as she sees me walk by to go to the car to get stuff. He's following me, talking to me, and he was like, "Oh, hey, where's her necklace at?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I am so sorry." I said, "Seriously, I said, it's still over at her friend's house. I will get it. I will make sure that you get it back by the end of this week." And he was like, "Oh, you were told to get the necklace back to us immediately when we picked her up." He's like, "It's not acceptable. We said we wanted this necklace back." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? I am giving you all of this stuff for free and you're going off." I said, "A cheap dollar store necklace." I did say that. I said, "You're going off on me." I said, "You are a piece of shit." I did say, and my daughter wasn't around, not the nicest thing in the world to say, but, you know, she was already in the car with Misty, and I straight up told him he was a piece of shit. And then I just stormed off. I go back into my office and I'm just like, ugh, you know, and next thing I know that my office doors bust open and in comes this little, maybe 4'10" 85 pounds while 6 months pregnant woman comes in and very abruptly approaches my desk where I didn't even have a chance to stand up yet, slams her hand to my desk and says, "Do you know who I am?" And I stood up and I said, "Yes, I do know who you are." And I said, "And if you're smart, you'll get out of my office right now." Because it's like the way that she came in aggressively, like I wasn't even doing that. And she was like, "How dare you? I'm not going anywhere. You don't talk to him." And that, like, it was like I closed my eyes and I can picture her, like a cartoon chihuahua going at me the way that she went at me. Like, I am not kidding. Like, it was the most insane thing I'd ever seen. I had one of the maintenance guys I worked with is sitting over here witnessing it. And my 12-year-old daughter is standing there witnessing this. And I repeatedly, I was like, "No, we're not." I was like, "This is my place of work. What is wrong with you? Get out of here. Like, you need to leave." And she, you know, she's like, you know, called me B words. As she was leaving, she screamed C word at me in my place, to where, like, she started coming around, like she was going to get aggressive with me physically. And I'm like, man, cool. Yeah, I was like thinking to myself, like, I've never been in a physical fight because, as I said, I don't believe in that. But if she wasn't pregnant, that might have ended differently. Just the fact that she had the nerve to come into my office and confront me that way. And so my maintenance guy got up and, like, had to escort her out of the building. Like, you know, she's coming around either side of him screaming and yelling. So, yeah, that was how I met her. And I felt terrible for my daughter, but she told me when she got back from the weekend that she, you know, and she was crying as she said that they said horrible things about me the entire time.
Wow. Misty's a peach, isn't she? That's how Amanda met Misty. And despite the fact that Misty and Trevor are still together 10 years later, and that they've had some form of co-parenting relationship that entire time, Amanda and Misty have never met again. That's just weird to me. Fast forward a year. Amanda and Joshua have spent a lot of time together. Their kids, who are actually cousins, are integrating well, and everyone's excited to see them come together as a family. Over this year, Amanda spent over $15,000 in attorney fees and believes Trevor, aka Misty, spent much more than that.
Well, and what was sad is we were originally like in our perfect world that we were going to have before Misty came along, we were going to just file online. We had like maybe not even get attorneys. We were going to just do it the easy way. And I love that idea. Like, why we even agreed, like, why should we waste money that we could be spending on our kids and on, you know, on our household situations and everything. And we were going to do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're not doing that anymore. Lawyer up, I was told.
So this separation that seemed like it was going to end amicably turned into a war that cost over $30,000 and took over a year to settle. But by June of 2013, Trevor and Amanda are officially divorced.
Yeah, it was pointless. It was it was just the biggest, fattest waste of money at the end of the day, with the final outcome would have been exactly what it would have been if we had just filed online.
Now that the divorce was final, Joshua and Amanda were free to move forward with their long-awaited plans.
We enjoyed living together because we liked being together every day, and we liked being together. We were best friends. And so no rush to get married on either of our part. We didn't actually get married until May of 2018. So it was a nice long engagement, but definitely well worth the wait.
Amanda and Josh seemed like the perfect couple. They loved being together, and so did their kids. Everything seemed perfect. When COVID hit, Josh was laid off, but was doing his best to make a living. They were doing okay. Fast forward to October 2020, a week before Amanda's 40th birthday.
We'd both taken off work that week to just have fun and do some silly stuff so that I could accept turning 40. And Josh started having some back pain. And he had been to the lake the weekend before and was acting silly with the young guys on Sea-Doos and jumping around and all that. And he's like, I think I freaking cracked a rib. He was like, it's like right under here. And I had the worst feeling come over me. It actually made me almost physically sick. It was so bad. And then it was confirmed on October 6th. He went and had a CT scan done after like many different doctor's appointments and me telling him, keep going back. What they're telling you is not right. It just says something wasn't right. And then they confirmed that he had pancreatic cancer and it was stage 4.
When we got to this point of the interview, I had to take a break because, as you know from the intro, my brother was recently diagnosed with stage 4 inoperable liver cancer. Until now, this had always happened to other people, like Josh and Amanda. It's never happened to people I love. But now I have a much clearer picture of the devastation, and my heart goes out to Joshua and Amanda and everyone else going through it. But if I didn't like Trevor before, this next clip raises the hatred bar for me.
I had to tell my daughters. And my youngest daughter at this point is, 13 years old. And she goes and tells her dad, like, hey, and Josh has cancer and I guess it's really bad. And you know, they don't know if he's going to make it. And Trevor said, well, it's called karma. That's what he gets. I hope that made him feel good. Because 3 months after diagnosis, very sadly, Joshua did pass away in January 2021.
It's called karma, and that's what he gets. That right there is all you need to know about Trevor. He's truly irredeemable. So as Amanda said, I hope that made him feel good. And I'm so sad for Amanda. I'm glad they had 9 years together. She deserves happiness. As always, I asked Amanda what advice she'd like to share with you.
Look at what you're doing is doing to your child. All else aside, like I don't know what exactly the motivation was for why the two of them decided to carry out things the way that they did and do what they did. But it didn't seem to bother them whether or not it hurt my daughter. And like divorces don't have to be so difficult. It really could have been very easy. Like I'm a very amicable person. I'm non-confrontational. If we were both just being kind to each other and doing what was best for our daughter, then we would have never had an issue. So you waste a lot of time and a lot of terrible moments and damage gets done to your child when you decide to do everything the hard way just because somebody's ego gets involved.
I literally couldn't have said that any better. It's what I've been saying here on the podcast and over at ourdivorce.com since the beginning. Despite the sadness and trauma she's experienced, she's working with a therapist and learning to see the positive in life. The last question I asked is if she thought she'll ever marry again.
I am a way cooler person than I used to be, so there's that. I don't put expectations on life. That's something that I would not say never. And I would not say absolutely, or I wouldn't work towards that goal. Like, I'm seriously taking life as it comes, like free and easy. Like, I have some goals that I'm working towards, but beyond that, I just like the right things show up in the right moments for me. And I'm like completely open to that. And life is unfolding beautiful for me. So if that happens someday, then fine. But it's definitely not something that I wouldn't actively pursue it, I guess.
Good for her. Take life one day at a time. Perfect. That's the show for this week. But before you go, please do me a few favors. First, go to TikTok and follow my brother's journey. He's at Dave's Amazing Journey. Next, please reach out to someone and lift them up. It doesn't take much effort or time, but if we'd all do that once a day, the entire world would be a better place. And finally, as I've asked during literally every show, please take just a minute to rate and review our show on whatever platform you're using right now. That's the best way to spread the word. If you're thinking of divorce, visit ourdivorce.com to see if it's the right option for your situation. And if you've been through a crazy divorce and you'd like to share it to help others or just to make people laugh, please go to mycrazydivorce.com and click on the apply to be a guest button so we can schedule a recording session. I hope you have a great week. See you next time.
Imagination brings a smile up to my